Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 627. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, it's been a week. I believe we started off last week's show saying weren't quite sure where to start. With the advent of the news that the WWE Network was moving to the Peacock Network app, or is it just the Peacock? Whatever.
Peacock, yeah, app, yeah. Let's say that right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, the entire as far as I know, is it the entire WWE Network is just migrating over there? Because I've got to admit, yes. I haven't really kept track of how many thousands of hours they have on there. So when they said 17,000, I was like, is that less or just what the number is now?
I think that is the total amount of what they have. I thought of it like this when it was being brought up on Twitter all yesterday morning, is that when they say they have over 100,000 hours in vault, 17,000 doesn't sound like a lot, but it really is a lot, and it is most of the key stuff that could be, you know, uploaded.
Yeah, because, I mean, they have pretty much the entirety of their catalog, don't they? If you want, like a Saturday night's main event, you can fetch those.
Every episode of Raw or SmackDown, up to the previous 4 weeks. They're really scattered on the really old shows, primetime wrestling. They just started with Wrestling Challenge. There are legal issues with the Superstars of Wrestling names, so they can only start. They only started putting those up from 1992 on. There's issues like that, but a lot of the WWE vault, just, you know, WWE stuff, and maybe even some with, you know, like WWE stuff, is that they did a lot of those types of studio recap shows where they just play the same matches over and over again. So there's a lot of repeats within the totality of the vault.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a good reason not to really post those. Although, that would be kind of interesting just to see how the different hosts did. Because I guess I feel once you mentioned that, I feel like I remember watching one with Lord Alfred Hayes when I was younger. Like, I could be completely mistaken, but like I feel like I watched a recap show with him.
I think that one was All American. It was on USA on Sunday afternoons. Yeah, I think that's the one you're thinking about. Yeah, I mean, just put it all up. I mean, I think they've been too slow in rolling out like the really older stuff. That, you know, that's, yes, I know that's a very niche today's audience, or, you know, when people say that they're nostalgic, most people are not as old as, maybe not as old as you and me, and so, you know, nostalgia for them goes back to just the Monday Night War, not to the days of Hulkamania and Rock and Wrestling, but you know, but who knows? Who knows what this will affect? But as far as I know, 17,000 hours is about the current amount of content on the WWE Network. So it will all be, supposedly it will all be migrating over. I don't know if it will all be there on day one. They have not said that, but I'm assuming there's going. It's gonna be weird. If you already have a Peacock account, because Peacock allows anyone to sign up for free.
Yes.
And have a free tier.
So yeah, that's what we have currently.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly if you have a Peacock account and a WWE Network account, how they're going to be, you know, joined. But if I'm thinking that if it's gonna be said that if, like with I think it was like Hulu and Disney, or Hulu and something else, if you already had the account, if you don't already have a Peacock account, your WWE Network login would get you into Peacock.
Oh, okay.
I believe, or it'll go by the email address. The email address will be what it would go by. Never, yeah, I mean, not your entire login. It might know that they have, but they haven't revealed how that's all going to work. My feeling is it's what.
Well, I was just going to say because you're either going to cut costs moving over to the Peacock, or it stays the same. You know, like, because they have a Premium Plus that's $9.99. I'm like, I'm paying that already. Like I saw some people complaining about it moving. I'm like, whatever, man. Like, I guess I'm getting more content for the same price. And I don't know how much of the NBC catalog I'm necessarily going to watch, but I mean, they do have The Office, and I mean, I know that people rewatch the hell out of that.
I have no qualms with paying $9.99, still paying $9.99, and getting more.
Yeah.
But one thing is though is. And it's not, this definitely hasn't been explained. I'm not even sure if they even figured this out yet. But with the $4.99 tier that still includes commercials, how the hell are they going to pull that off with live WWE pay-per-views? Or is WWE
they're exempt?
Subject to.
Yeah.
Are they exempt from commercials during their live broadcast, which means that even if you did pay for the $4.99, you still get the full value of the WWE Network, but just not the commercial-free regular offerings of Peacock. I'm thinking they'll find a way to work the commercial thing in so that they'll make you pay the $9.99 if you only care about WWE Network, you know, content. But it's an interesting question.
Yeah, and that's the part that I'm a little bit confused by. Like, I guess the thinking is that the WWE gets more exposure being on NBC than being on their own network.
I would imagine it would. I imagine that. See, I'm not sure. Like, NBC says that Peacock, or NBC and Comcast, I should say that Peacock has 26 million subscribers. But they don't say how many of those are in a paying tier.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I mean,
and what there's
people paying for.
What is it? A million people, or a little over a million, for the WWE Network currently?
I think it's 1.1 or 1.2 in the U.S. So the network will still exist internationally.
Oh,
it is only for the U.S. This is only for the U.S. But you know, the U.S. market, U.S. makes up, you know, it's a huge percentage of the total network subscriptions. Then again, there's people using VPNs in other countries to get the U.S. you know, a version of anyway, because it took a very long time in some cases for each individual country to get the network, you know, years ago. So there are some international, you know, roll into that, but you know, it's generally considered, you know, 1.1 or 1.2 million U.S. subscribers. Is that more than the amount of people who are actually paying for Peacock right now? It's possible. I think probably not, but it's possible.
Yeah, there was no reason to put any money into Peacock. Like, because the wife watches Days of Our Lives, and it's commercial free to start with, or it's
they also stick very little ads. There's not 2 minute ad breaks. They're like 30 second to 1 minute ad breaks.
Oh yeah, maybe that's what it is. Like, they're so compressed. Like, that just makes it feel like it moves along way quicker. And doesn't seem like a problem, honestly. So I could see the WWE having little pop-up ads or something like that, or doing more of JR's favorite thing in the world, picture-in-picture advertising during pay-per-views, I guess. Like, we were kind of talking about that a little bit earlier. Like, that the picture-in-picture thing would make sense if they want to do something like that. Because I feel like they've done that a little bit with soccer recently, which is a sport that, you know, goes nonstop for the 45-plus minutes.
Right.
Or they have some type of advertisement in the upper part of this, you know, like some portion of the screen so that, you know, they can get some advertising dollars. So there are solutions to that, I guess, if you're paying.
And if they would, you're right, if they were, say, to go, you know, picture for the $4.99 tier, that's really not an enjoyable way to watch WrestleMania. Well, I'll tolerate it on NXT or AEW, but I'm not going to want to watch WrestleMania that way. So if I'm already paying $99.99 for the WWE Network, I just go for it. You know, I just keep paying $9.99 to avoid that whole thing entirely. Yeah. Peacock has struggled, you know, I think, to have signature. I mean, right now, all of their advertising is literally focused on one show, The Office. That's it. That is the only signature program they really have that for people who are big fans of that show, and I'm certainly someone who watches it, goes through the show at least once a year or every other year or so too. Now it might be worth it. Maybe that one or two times over the course of a year or two that I would do that. WWE Network, of course, gives you that level of destination programming every single month that will keep you there. Subscribe to a service like that every single month and never let it go. So yeah, WWE Network is definitely a value to, you know, Comcast and NBC. $250 million a year. it's worth it. It's a game to them. It's trying to win the content game, and because over time, more and more, as there's more streaming services, 10 years from now there will be less streaming services because they'll start swallowing each other up, and you'll want to be, you know, on top of the food chain there.
It is kind of interesting. How many, because even now, like, it's just like, there are some that I'm just not worried about, you know, that I probably could pay for, that I'm just like, okay, like, we just recently got Disney Plus, and that's one that I guess I have been enjoying the hell out of, because I kind of knew that I'd like The Mandalorian. And by watching it, I have confirmed that I do indeed like The Mandalorian. And I have started to go back to watch Star Wars Clone Wars, the cartoon.
Yeah,
You know, there's... I do kind of understand there being a... like you're saying, a content war. Like, you've really got to kind of pick and choose... like what you, to me, you've got to pick and choose what you really want. Like, paying for all of them is kind of silly.
Right, yeah, and the ones that have the things that you're going to keep coming back to month after month after month are the ones that are going to win for the most part. You'll pick up one every once in a while. Amazon Prime, I've gotten really, really good at that maybe 1 or 2 months out of the year. That I can re-up at a good deal, you know, free, and then maybe discounted the next month or something of that nature. But once again, that's maybe 2 to 3 months out of the year I'm able to do that. Otherwise, you know, what they have isn't worth me staying month after month after month. You know, I'm pretty married to Netflix, you know, as a month-to-month thing. My roommate and I, you know, I'm lucky that we split a Hulu with live TV account because we've cut the cord, an HBO Max account, and a Disney Plus account.
Oh.
And, you know, splitting it is worth it, yeah.
Yeah. it always helps to have some shared income. Coming from someone with two jobs and no kids, sometimes it makes it easy to have a little extra.
I have been jealous of your lifestyle many a times through a scroll on Instagram.
So, you know, it helps to be married to the right person. I'll throw it out that way, because things were not that fabulous the other time. But I don't know how much content I'll end up watching on Peacock necessarily for Peacock. I will just end up going there, though, monthly for pay-per-views. I'll definitely hop in there. It'll be kind of interesting to see. I also feel like all these networks kind of take a while to get moving with content when they first start out. And Peacock is still relatively new.
It's the newest, yeah, I think it would be considered the newest. HBO Max to market by like 6 months or something like that. And of course, HBO Max has all, everything HBO, everything Warner Brothers, DC, really. That's what I end up using more than I thought I would, but it just, you can just pop something on that's like a movie that's like 90 minutes and it fills your time. And Peacock will probably be very much the same way. You know, their movie, I've seen a lot of people and I've looked at it a little bit myself. Peacock's movie selection is pretty damn good, actually.
You
have to sit through a few.
Yeah, I forgot. We kind of browsed through those when we first downloaded the free version, and they have a lot of like the older movies that I'm like, oh, like I know I've never seen that, and then I'm kind of interested in watching, and they're like, you know, either Oscar award winners or like just very famous old movies. And I'm just like, damn, man, that's quite a selection. But then it's just like, I need to sit down long enough to watch that stuff. Like, I always feel bad. Like, there's one thing of throwing on like a Predator, let's say, that I've seen I don't know how many times, and kind of doing some housework or doing something else. Like, if I'm watching something for the first time, I really don't want to be distracted, you know? Like, I really kind of want to take it in and enjoy it for what it is. So, like, there are kind of different times to watch different things. And, some of their movie selection was kind of nice, but I do feel like it was the older stuff that interested me, you know, like, from the 40s and 50s and that kind of, like, beginning of Hollywood type stuff. It's an interesting move on a lot of fronts. And I guess it's kind of unsurprising. The WWE has worked with NBC for how many years at this point?
With various people in charge, they've had a relationship with NBC since 1985, essentially off and on. With the original Saturday Night's Main Event, I mean NBC and NBC, you know, bought USA Network at some point in the 2000s, so the deal has been with them since then. And they seem to have a good relationship. It seemed like Fox was starting to try and cut in on a little bit of that. Seemed like, and really until this week, it seemed like Fox was the one, you know, rolling out the carpet and giving them the five-star treatment, whereas, and USA was maybe taken for granted a little bit, but, well, not now. You know, this deal is for 5 years, and it runs longer than what Raw is still supposed to be on USA exclusively. So, you know, it looks like downturn in ratings, be damned. This certainly means Raw's, at least Raw's staying on USA in 5 years.
Yeah, well, that was kind of an interesting thing. I guess I was kind of talking to you about it a little bit before we started, but the secondary article about whether NXT would end up staying on the USA network, which is impacted by another NBC move, which is NBC Sports is going bye-bye And we're getting a lot of that programming on the USA Network.
Yes, well, it depends on the contract lengths, because I believe don't both the NHL and NASCAR have contracts up, so they may not even stay with NBC at all in the next seasons. But in all likelihood, they will make a deal to stay. USA is a great platform. Go ahead.
Yeah, I feel the NHL has been with NBC for a while now. And I don't know if their rights are big enough. The only thing that I could see maybe happening is ESPN swinging in for it again. Like, there has been some interest occasionally in the NHL returning to ESPN. If I can watch the games, it was one of those interesting things that when I moved to DirecTV, when we first moved into the house, I got the NBC Sports Network on the regular, cable package, and it was literally, one station down from ESPN. It was before ESPN2. And then on WOW that I have, again, it's part of the regular package. So I was kind of surprised, or I guess I didn't know that. I forget who Jeremy has cable-wise, but you've got to get a premium subscription to get NBC Sports. So I guess USA gets in more households than NBC Sports, which I guess two cable companies isn't a lot, but I feel like, and AT&T would have been the same thing, so I guess that doesn't count. But I guess there's at least one cable network out there that does not, I don't know if it's Spectrum or if it's someone else. I guess that's one of the reasons why some of this stuff is moving over, is because USA is, you can get more eyeballs on it. But, the NHL contract right now, they're doing an exclusive Wednesday night game, which is, I think, why a lot of the speculation about NXT started to take place. But with it being next season, there's a little bit of time, because I believe it's through the end of this year, is it not?
Yeah, I think I said it's through the end of this year. Yeah, was something like October or something that the switch will take place, that where the NBC Sports will be no more, and the programming, as the current program as it stands, would move over to USA. So yeah, it's said that they have similar total viewerships between NXT and Wednesday Night Hockey, but Wednesday Night Hockey delivers younger viewers and better ad rates. And so would NXT get bumped another night of the week? Would NBC? Would NXT get bumped to exclusively on Peacock and the WWE Network? It's possible. It would be another good, hook for Peacock and WWE Network, synergy. So
yeah, it definitely was not a problem for me to watch that online. Like, when NXT was on the WWE Network, it was easy to pop over there because it was like it is now, where it was the most enjoyable, consistent WWE product, so it's easy to jump on the network. So it's going to be really easy to jump on Peacock to watch it if that's what ends up happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of the interesting thing about last week. You start wondering if USA is preparing for a life without WWE, and then this move gets made this week, and it's obvious, they are very, very, very invested in WWE. It's like having an ownership in the company without actually having stock in the company, which I'm, Actually, I'm sure they also have that too, but not a large interest. But it's almost like having a larger interest in the company, you know, making this gamble. Actually, more than understanding, you mentioned ESPN. I was reading a little blurb from Meltzer earlier about how ESPN is now completely out of the WWE game. You know how they played those old WrestleManias to fill time, right at the beginning of the pandemic, and on SportsCenter or whatever, we're doing the fluff pieces on WWE. They know they're not getting WWE television rights, and they're not getting anything great out of the deal, so they are completely done. They're not done covering wrestling, but they're done with WWE, because they know that they're not getting it.
I don't blame them.
I wonder if ESPN Plus was, making a play for a similar deal like they're doing right now, or a deal like, or a UFC-like deal.
Oh. Yeah, I got this past weekend was the first weekend that I really skipped on a fight that I thought I might purchase, which was the Conor McGregor Dustin Poirier fight.
I haven't heard of such a thing. I'm sure.
Huh?
Go ahead. I was going to make a joke about, oh, really? I never heard of such a thing. Go ahead. No, I was there.
It was one of those things that, it wasn't a big deal, but, although that kind of would have been funny to see the main event. I got ESPN Plus, for some fights a while back, and, it's something that I haven't taken great advantage of. But, I do still use it occasionally. It's great that they have Italian soccer rights, because I do pop on there for that every now and again. I would have to say that if the WWE Network went to ESPN Plus, that I probably would have used it more. You know? But it is what it is, I guess. Peacock's where it is. Well, going to be what? It's March 18th, if I'm not mistaken.
It's going to roll out. They're doing Fastlane as a pay-per-view on March 21st, which will be the test of, the NBC Peacock servers to make sure that everything will be all hunky-dory WrestleMania. I figured they were going to, when WrestleMania got moved to April, later than it's ever been, I knew they were going to do a March pay-per-view, but I didn't think it was going to be so close to, so late in March and so close to WrestleMania, but now I see why they're doing it.
Oh, but isn't WrestleMania a little bit later than normal this year, too?
Yes, that's what, it's April. Was April 11th and 12th, or 10th and 11th this year? Yes, because they're still doing two nights again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was supposed to be on the 28th, March 28th, but it got moved 2 weeks. Then WWE added Fastlane on the 21st, which seemed weird because it's only 3 weeks before WrestleMania. But it's to test out the NBC servers just to make sure that that everything's going to be good.
Yeah, it's a fine idea to do that. And whatever, nothing important ever happens at Fastlane.
No, it never does.
So, like,
we aren't talking years later about Fastlane moments.
It's a fine enough idea. I'll probably pop on for that, but that definitely won't be one of those pay-per-views that I'm terribly worried about. This coming Sunday. This Sunday we have a pay-per-view, Chris.
Yes, we do. We have the COVID-era Royal Rumble with no fans and a bunch of wrestlers in the ring. I'm sure everything will be fine. I'm sure they're taking precautions.
Sasha Banks,
Bailey, we're celebrating Sasha Banks' birthday on Steve Austin's property in California, and then they're going to go travel to Florida to be in a match. Be in matches with a bunch of other people. It'll be fine. I was just like, I saw that. I was like, I guess you're having a nice birthday, Sasha. But I'm like, really? What they really should have done, because it's the Royal Rumble, and going to be 10 or more wrestlers in the ring at once at various points. They really probably should have just quarantined everybody and even taped this week's TV ahead of time, just to be on the safe side. That's just a thought that popped in my head. We don't have to.
Oh. I didn't know about them being out with good old Steve Austin there having a fun old time. So that is news to yours truly. Yeah, it was one of those ones where I did see something of a similar headline where they're like, why did the WWE say that Edge is coming back for the Royal Rumble? Without a crowd, surprise entrants just aren't the same at all.
No, they're really not. And they did it last year. It was a nice hook that, another person who could be considered at least a minor favorite enters the Rumble. There's some real, parity in the men's Rumble. There's not really a solid winner, whereas on the women's side, I think a lot of people are putting their bets on Bianca Belair to take it, and that's far from guaranteed too, but even on the men's side, there's not even that level of favorite, I don't think.
I have no clue who it would go to, right now. I've got nothing. Normally I feel like I have some favorites of who is probably going to win, but there is just no one that is really standing out at the moment. I feel like I saw a rumored WrestleMania headline of Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns.
See, I never saw that anywhere. I heard Jeremy say it. I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about? That's something no one's talking about. That makes absolutely no sense. And that's me publicly calling out Jeremy. he's a big boy. He can take it.
He's fine.
That makes no sense at all from where Seth left off, where Roman is right now. It makes absolutely no sense. And I've never seen that anywhere, at least reputable. So I don't know. I don't know where he got that.
Well, I know his usual source, so I wouldn't be surprised if something was a little off with it. Rollins coming back, even if it isn't a Roman Reigns situation, he's one of the few guys that I'm like, yeah, I could see him being the Rumble winner. Edge definitely has an outside chance. I don't think they'd go that direction with him. But I'm also not sure,
Sure, they're plus that now they've also got this thing where they're announcing entrants 1 and 2 for the women's, and the 30th entrant in the men's on the WWE Backstage special on Fox Sports on Saturday night. But with that, they're bringing Renee Young back to host. Now, 1 and 2 of the women, part of me doesn't really like it because I just like that little surprise for myself of even if it's not any kind of a surprise. It's just good. I did not know this information before the match started. So it's still a surprise to me, but I guess it's not really hurting much of anything. I mean, there's some speculation that announcing the men's 30th entrant, the night beforehand, if it's not a name, if it's actually a mid or lower card person, that person might end up getting taken out anyway and replaced by somebody who is a surprise.
That would be kind of funny. Because most of the times, they always, it's almost always a name for number 30, isn't it? Like, even if, I don't feel like 30 is very good for winning the Rumble.
No, there's been a couple of 30s. It did, actually, I think the funny thing is, I think it took, like, almost 20 years, like, 20 years for
a 30 to win.
30 to actually win. I think, like, wasn't Undertaker's win a 30 win in, like, 2007, I think it was?
I believe that, yeah, that was one that I was thinking Undertaker was one.
Yeah. And there was, I think that, was Cena's prize return also a 30?
Feel like he was a 20. Like a year later. I feel like he was a 28 or something like that. Yeah. But he might have been 30.
Yeah, I think. Hold on, World Rumble number 30.
that was a big return though. The Cena one that was for sure. So. Yeah, there haven't been a whole lot of 30 wins. It's been less common than some of the other ones. Like, I'm actually kind of shocked that I haven't seen a Royal Rumble by the numbers advertisement yet. I feel like it's mandatory to do that every year. Or did I fast forward through it on Raw?
No, they did not do the Rumble by the numbers. They did not do that in the Raw before. No.
Wow.
I think the only two people who won at 30 were Undertaker and Triple H.
Okay.
Triple H did it in like 2016 where his surprise deal where he showed up to screw over Roman Reigns to set up that classic match you got to see live.
Oh man. Yeah. I forgot there needs to be some discussions about future WrestleManias. But
yes, I
that can be done off air for the time being.
Yes.
Yeah, so the 30 announcement isn't that, it's big, I would imagine, because I still do feel like they usually have something of a name still, some name recognition. Like, I don't feel like number 30 has been like, I'm just going to pick a name out of the hat and I'm not sure why Scotty Too Hotty is coming to mind currently. But, you know, I don't feel like we've had that, or, like, maybe an equivalent right now would be R-Truth at number 30. Well, actually, he kind of has some name recognition. He could be a 30, I guess. But you kind of know that he's not winning also.
Right.
R-Truth going to WrestleMania in the main event, that would really cap off quite a career that he's had. If we get R-Truth pointing to the WrestleMania sign, that'll be something. To get back to what the main theme was, like, I really don't feel like there are any favorites. Like, you know, even, because is Strowman gone for the Rumble?
I would imagine he's been gone, but I would imagine he's in line for a return at the Royal Rumble. Aforementioned Seth Rollins, I would figure is a lock to return at the Royal Rumble. It's not like, you know, he gave birth.
Yeah. If CrossFit Jesus stayed in shape, we'll be okay.
I would doubt that Becky would be back by now. You know, one Miss Ronda Rousey decided to have a little fun on Twitter tonight by showcasing the sports betting page that where you can actually bet on the Royal Rumble and her standing currently, saying that you can make more money off of this than you. Hold on, let me see what Ronda.
Now is
she's trolled about her return. Yeah, she's trolled about her return, potential return for herself before.
Well, and I feel like, yeah, I feel like I saw her name pop up last week for one reason or another, and I'm like, the WWE can use her if they want to, but they don't need her either. Like, they're not really in a position in need for her. Like, the women's division, it's a writing problem, not a star power problem.
Right. I mean, but she doesn't hurt, certainly. Okay, her exact tweet is, well, and I don't, best way to make a profit since those dudes did that stuff with GameStop, I don't stand. Are you following that crazy story? it's too complicated for her to talk about here, but
no.
The value of GameStop stock in 2021 and pissing off all, like, the hedge fund guys and shit like that. It's pretty crazy. You certainly don't have the time to explain that, and I don't totally understand all of it or half of it, but it's a hilarious story. I would advise looking up. If you were doing OPA, I would say that it would be a good topic for OPA.
Yeah, that does sound like a Ken and I topic. Unfortunately, that is still on hiatus, so...
January 2021, the GameStop stock is at $150 a share when it was at like $20 like 6 months ago. And all in some weird game these day traders are gonna pull off. It's crazy shit. You definitely should look it up when you have time.
Okie dokie. Yeah, so what's the bet for on the sports betting site? Is it for her to win, or is it just for her to enter?
It's for her to win.
For her to win,
it's for
okay.
For her to win, she's at plus 750, excuse me.
Oh my god, then she's like the heavy favorite then.
No, like I think like Bianca Belair is at like 150 or something like that, plus 150.
Okay. Oh, so she's a... Oh. Why was I thinking that...
If you bet $100, you would make $750 if you bet on Ronda Rousey. How sports line betting works.
Yeah, see, I'm kind of trash with that. That's why I don't bet.
I started doing some... Now that online gambling and sports betting is legal here in Michigan... I've done a little FanDuel now. I broke even on my football bets this weekend.
Hey.
I certainly underrated when Mr. Patrick Mahomes' ability to drive up a score against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I can't believe you didn't take. You called your brother's team losing?
Yeah.
Oh?
Because I did. I learned don't bet Tom Brady. And even then, he still could have lost by 3 points. And that would have been fine.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Packers still could have won by 3 points, I should say, yeah.
I can't believe I'm rooting for someone to go back-to-back on championships, but here I am. For a team that I have no investment in whatsoever. I'm like, yeah, sure, just let's go back-to-back. Let's fuck Tom Brady. That is my stance. He can wear whatever uniform he wants, and it's... The sentiment will stand. Mainly because of heartbreak. How did we jump off on the sport? Oh, Ronda Rousey. Bianca's a good choice for the women. I'm trying to... I wouldn't be completely surprised if they gave Rhea Ripley a chance right off the bat. To be honest with you.
She's a plus 700. She's just above Ronda. Which actually I would think that she'd be more favorite. That might actually be a really good... bet. Because, she's currently, wrestling in the company, unlike one who's been off for nearly 2 years.
Wow, man, it's been that long now, too, huh?
Yeah, and her contract is up. You know, she signed a 3-year deal in 2018 that she only worked 1 year out of.
Man, that is some nice money if you can make it. Oh man, I would. I'd love to be able to do that.
Let's run with the top options of both the women and the men, as according to, I think it's Bovada, I believe is the sports betting website based somewhere overseas that you can bet, you can gamble with, but I don't, it's the overseas one, so I won't be doing that. Bianca Belair, go ahead.
Did I miss the Royal Rumble pick'em, or is Steve being lazy and not doing that?
Those spots filled up quick. Huh. Some guy picked up 10 spots in the men's rumble, and then because he's got to be a Mr. Big Shot himself, Shahid took 10 spots in the women's rumble.
Okay, well, this is what this is the price that you pay when you don't have the time to look on Twitter.
I know.
Well,
I was able to get 2 picks in on each.
I mean, I won some money last year just putting in 2 or 3 picks. So, I'm with you. I'm Team Chris on this one. Like, just, you don't need to try to buy up 10 spots, man. I could, but I'm not that invested in the Royal Rumble. But anyway, Rhea Ripley seems like a good buy, honestly. So you were going to head towards the top picks on Bovada.
Yeah, let's see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's do top 9.
Okay.
Women: Bianca Belair +180. Alexa Bliss. Wait, hold on. Yeah, Alexa Bliss +300. So there's a pretty big a gap between first and second here. There. Rhea Ripley +375. Ronda Rousey 6. Wait, hold on. They have this weird. Ronda Rousey is 1600, but Bayley is 1000, and Charlotte Flair is 1200. But Rousey is listed before the two of them. Okay, hold on. +180 for Bianca, +300 for Alexa, +375 for Rhea Ripley, +1000 for Bayley, +1200 for Charlotte Flair, +1600 each for Ronda and Shayna. And that should be good. And then there's a +1200 for Sonya Deville.
Oh, wow.
Did you catch all that?
If Sonya won, I might poop my pants just out of sheer surprise.
Yeah.
You deserve $1,200 for your $1 bet if that happens.
$100. You gotta bet $100 to make the top of the line.
+1200. Still.
Otherwise, it's, you know, as a percentage, but yeah, exactly.
There's not a chance in hell that's happening though. Like Ronda is a reasonable bet. Rhea is a reasonable bet.
Alexa Bliss is surely a reasonable bet because she's getting pushed to the moon.
Yes.
Bianca, obviously, same. Bayley and Charlotte are, you know, standard bear. So that's solid there. Once again, there's 120. You know, points, or however you put it, between Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid gap.
Actually, the list I'm looking at right now, I think it's actually outdated. It's only from yesterday, so one thing with gambling on WWE is that as you get closer and closer to the show itself, the speculation turns to spoilers. So you want to try to avoid that information. Like by the weekend of.
Yeah, I do feel like, have I just skipped it? Like, I don't feel like I've seen the actual, like, headline, this is definitely going to be the winner of the Royal Rumble kind of things. Like, I do feel like, normally, just because the WWE tends to focus itself better this time of the year from the Royal Rumble up until WrestleMania, and then, you know, oof, man, things are a real mixed bag. It really is surprising that they don't have more focus. Like there are normally guys or women that are real standouts. Like Bianca had that segment with Bayley this past week on SmackDown. And that's definitely something to be featured in, but overall, like, her push hasn't been great since moving to the main roster. And this is really just, like, a restart of a restart, almost, with Bianca. Oh, yeah. Already.
She did nothing of note on Raw. She's been featured prominently on SmackDown with this whole storyline with Bayley. I mean, her storyline with Bayley has been essentially featured more prominently than the Sasha Banks' Women's Championship feud. So that's, she's got that going for her. She'd be a good pick, and certainly someone that they can really get behind. And they have been behind, but they just, you know, it just wasn't her time on Raw. It got very messy. She's definitely been better off on SmackDown.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's really just starting to get pushed in one direction. Like, it would be, oh, did you have Lacey Evans on that list since she's with Ric Flair currently? Is she on the top 9 list?
Let me see. Dang it, I just lost it.
I asked the question too late.
This is a little, and I guess this is, these are now outdated, so
that's fine.
Because the line moves every day. But Lacey Evans is, she's at plus 4,000. You'd make grand if she won. Or however much they'd allow you, because I assume
you get
there's a minimum, a maximum you're allowed to bet on wrestling, you know, because it's, you know, fixed. But I mean, she's been featured fairly prominently for the last few weeks. I don't see her winning, but I see her as more likely winner than, once again, Sonya Deville or someone who's not currently wrestling in the company.
Yes. And someone who's, yeah, kind of almost openly agitated wrestling fans recently, too. So, Ronda's kind of a weird and interesting pick that I guess I definitely wouldn't go with at this point. Yeah, but, the WWE just really hasn't focused either on the women's division, to me, either the women's division or the men's division. Like, Alexa's gotten a push, and it would be interesting, and I think we talked about her having a bunch of fresh matchups just because she has been out of the limelight for so long, or at least out of the singles division for close to 2 years herself. You know, she's had some spot singles matches here and there, but, you know, and honestly, it's only been these past couple of weeks that she's shown an interest in the women's division, having her wrestle Asuka. Like, when she has wrestled singles matches, it really hasn't been for the goal of capturing a shiny new toy. I was trying to use the right words. It took me a second to remember that. So, yeah, like, Alexa hasn't exactly been getting pushed to the moon either. Like, she has definitely been featured more just because she's been attached to the Bray Wyatt character. But as far as an in-ring push goes, she's not really been pushed in the ring that much until the last few weeks.
Yeah, no, she really hasn't. And she's getting this, you know, it's amazing to say it because of her size, but a monster push as essentially impervious to pain and all-powerful. Well, except being susceptible to RKOs, I guess, when she's in her trance. that was weird. The whole thing is very bizarre, and, you know, it's the creative license they can take with these Bray Wyatt storylines that she's now wrapped into. I don't necessarily see her winning the Rumble. I think she's going to be, you know, attached to the hip to Bray Wyatt, and they're going to do whatever weird thing that they're going to do with whoever they're going to be feuding with. You know, heading into WrestleMania, whether that involves a mixed tag of some sort or have you. So I think the pro wrestling odds makers, which is a weird thing to even say, they even exist. I think they're certainly overrating her chances of winning, especially putting her at second.
I'm not really on the Alexa for Royal Rumble winner. Like, if she's involved in a championship match with Asuka at WrestleMania, I wouldn't be terribly surprised. But that's different than winning the Royal Rumble and challenging someone for the championship.
Yeah, I don't. So I don't think that they're going to do that. I think she's going to do something, whatever weird thing they're going to have the fiend involved in, whether it's still with Randy Orton or if he moves on to feud with somebody else. I think she'll be very, you know, intricately involved in that and not be put in a women's title situation.
Yeah, she's going to continue to be weird, and that's fine. Like, they don't need to have championships. Like, it's kind of weird when they have championships, honestly. And the whole... Yeah, the being impervious to pain in matches thing is a really thin spot for me at the current moment.
What, you don't buy Alexa Bliss as being impervious to pain and having superpowers?
Yeah, like, at least Bray Wyatt does have... He is just physically intimidating enough to be able to sell it.
Yeah.
She is not physically intimidating. Like, great athlete, all that other, you know, complimentary stuff that you can say about her. You know, clearly she works on her game and everything. Like, I don't feel like, she's ever really wrestled poorly. So, yeah, but her no-selling stuff is just kind of weird and awkward, especially when, you know, Asuka is a good chunk bigger than her, too.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely. It's definitely a heartfelt wallow.
Yeah, that was a little rough.
That it is... Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, Asuka's having a rough time of it lately. So hopefully she can be focused on a you know, major opponent for heading into WrestleMania, and not lose her championship beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, if she doesn't lose it at the Rumble, I don't think she's losing it between the Rumble and Mania.
Still two pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Well, I do think that I could definitely see her and Charlotte dropping the women's tag team championships, you know, to Nia and Shayna on Sunday. You know, just to get that over with quickly.
Oh. Yeah. It just... That women's tag division is just... I don't get why they have really gone out of their way to feature Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, or at least have them on TV, but then they just constantly lose, and it's just like, is a breakup storyline coming, but I'm not going to care if a breakup storyline happens?
Well, no. You certainly would not. No.
You know, like...
I don't see where it's going. I think they still might get the titles, but they're taking a weird, path to get there. Get these belts. Certainly, even if it means getting back on Shayna and Nia again, get these belts off of Charlotte and Asuka. It's just not working. That's why we still got a little time left. You know, Charlotte Flair, her last at least two outings have been rough. She is just, her head is somewhere else, it seems. I don't know if she's really unhappy about the storyline with her dad, if she's just kind of over wrestling, she's just being dragged back from her sabbatical for this crap, but she seems to be taking it out on her performance, and was certainly taking it out on the Riot Squad on Friday by kicking out of every pinfall attempt they made at one. did you notice that, or did you see that? You know, someone put that video together that every time the Riot Squad went for a pin, she just kicked out at one, just. Shrugged it off and didn't really sell.
Oof, no, I did not see that.
And then last night she kneed Shayna Baszler in the face pretty fucking hard, and it's that was part of the reason that finish got so screwed up with Shayna not being able to make it back in time, although that's more the referee's fault probably.
No. Oh. Yeah, that is... The weird countouts recently, the unintended countouts recently, like, I don't feel like I've remembered two unintended countouts within, like, a month of each other. Because either wrestlers are forgetting or referees are counting too quickly is just kind of one of those bizarre sub-stories of the WWE currently. Yeah, like, I don't know. Jeremy and I talked about it. She looks different physically than she did previously. Like, she looks like she dropped some weight and dropped some muscle mass. And I don't know if that is causing some problems. Because maybe she can't do quite the same stuff that she was doing previously. I don't know. Like you said, like, It's weird to come back for your friend, and like almost from Jump Street, they were almost saying that Charlotte was going to have a chance at Asuka, but they also ended up moving away from that immediately. You know?
Yeah. The story stopped being about their tag team title reign quickly. They haven't been in the same segments the last 2 weeks. Charlotte's obviously still in the storyline with Lacey Evans and her dad, and it's getting a little uncomfortable. It's been uncomfortable. The whole thing's uncomfortable. So Charlotte, I'm sure. I understand certainly her being frustrated and disappointed that with the creative since her return. But I also think that there's some deeper things here that she's really not living up to her former standards and in the ring, which is what she should be able to control.
Yes. And
is that but creatively wise, let's get separating from that. It seems like they've already regret putting Charlotte and Asuka together, because the last 2 weeks they haven't even been together. and that's Sunday they're just going to just, you know, just kind of restart that. Put a restart on that.
Yeah. And whatever. Yeah, it's all weird. Shayna and Nia still being a team is weird to me. Like, that's another two women that you just kind of handcuff them together. And it's just like, why? Like, you need them in the singles division. Like, what are you doing? You know, they really don't make sense as a team. They continue to bicker and kind of get in each other's way. So it's one of those really strange things where it's just like, why are you trying to make this work? Like, the Asuka and Charlotte thing, I can understand from, you know, when you're pulling out the respect card. Like, Nia and Shayna aren't going to respect each other at any point. So why are you doing this?
Yeah, it hasn't made sense from the start. They really should have, at the end of Sasha and Bayley's run, it should have been the Riot Squad, and they just should have rebooted the division from there. It didn't need to be these two super teams squashing everybody while, you know, not getting along and not, you know, and not giving back to the, because between the two teams, they've wasted everybody else.
Oh, you know, yes.
They both made the Wyatt Squad look like fools. They both, you know, destroyed, you know, Lacey and Peyton. Actually, Lacey and beat them, beat Charlotte and Asuka, and then never got a title shot.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
Mandy and Dana have been being destroyed by Nia since before Survivor Series every week, and it just, you know, this division is not going to be left. You know, basically, this division is not left standing after these super teams are done with it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not expecting much out of the WWE here, but hey, let's go back to that old formula where there's at least four tag teams, and leave these super teams out of the mix. I guess, do we want to wrap it up here, or do we want to talk about the possible men's winners of the Royal Rumble before we mosey on out of here?
We can talk about the possible men's winners, certainly.
So what? We mentioned Seth Rollins is a possibility. Do you think he has a possibility? He's probably returning. Do you think he has a possibility of winning?
He's always, you know, a top guy. He could, you know, he could always go over to Raw, you know, back to Raw, and challenge Drew McIntyre, certainly, or Goldberg for that matter. I'm not seeing it. I don't know if that's the guy that they want to say is a two-time winner within, you know, 2 years of each other either. I don't know if they love him that much. Daniel Bryan is definitely in the discussion. His whole thing about, I've never won a Royal Rumble or even a Battle Royal in my entire career, and he's been in conflict with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso as well, but still not had his match with Roman Reigns. Big E has been talked about, but he seems to be solidly with the Intercontinental title. Not that they can't take care of that between now and WrestleMania as well. Let's see, who else? Nakamura's been doing, you know, significantly better lately. We just mentioned Edge as a major, as a contender. And I think in the latest odds, he's number two behind Daniel Bryan now.
Oh.
And in some odds, like some places they're different, he's like, you know, number two behind Big E, and Daniel Bryan has fallen, you know, greatly. So the Men's Rumble is a real at this point. There's... Let's count down who we've all mentioned. Okay.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, Edge, Daniel Bryan, Big E, Nakamura. That's five right there. That's five right there. You know, they're. You know who's been having a really good run lately? don't know if, how great of a chance this would give him, but Sheamus, they really gave Sheamus a big, pretty big pimp spot last night on Raw. And he's got the history and the story with Drew McIntyre that they've half dropped, but it's still kind of, there.
Yeah, so
there's, I don't want to count him. You got.
Yeah, I would call him a long shot. You could definitely go with, and it's one I feel like you and I have talked about, Bobby Lashley is definitely
Lashley definitely could be
a possibility.
Yeah, Lashley's a possibility. So that's seven. You know, Braun Strowman making his return, that's eight. You know, they love them some Braun.
Yeah.
You know, he's always a possibility. And he's never won a canon, you know, January Royal Rumble. He won that the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia for whatever that's worth. But he's never won the big one. In that respect, I'll try it. I don't think Randy Orton. I think Randy's not. You know, Randy's going to be in this deal with the Fiend for a little while longer.
Yeah.
And, you know Agreed. What? I guess I could probably put the Fiend in, although it's more of a long shot again, because once again, I hope they've learned their lesson about putting the Fiend in the title mix. It just doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
But still, they once again, much in the same category as Braun, they love them Bray Wyatt as well.
Yeah, you can't always put that one out of the choice box, but yeah, I'm with you. Like, the possibility seems low, but there's a more than zero chance that it happens.
I mean, I won't even count these, but there's your kind of out there wacky type choices like The Rock or John Cena or CM Punk, for fuck's sake.
Oh, jeez.
If they really want to go with a surprise and what they would consider a bigger match for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, if they really want to try to ball out, I guess. I mean, maybe you could talk The Rock into it, since if I'm not mistaken, Titan Games is on NBC, and it's his new.
As is Young Rock.
Huh?
As is Young Rock. His new series. So.
Yeah, I mean,
but the issue is the match would be with Roman Reigns, and the build up would be on Fox.
Oh, well, this is true.
Yeah, but again, you know. I'm almost tempted to put John Cena on the list because he's still John Cena, and I believe I saw something today that he is essentially signed on to wrestle at the next three WrestleManias, including this one. That will be his one match a year.
Yeah, I mean, you can use him as that type of an opponent for someone. You know, if he wins the Rumble, he's almost assuredly losing at WrestleMania.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know if I necessarily see that, but we shall see. Once again, you know what? I didn't even think about it. Say Brock Lesnar, of course. Yes, there's another one who could be a surprise show up and win the whole thing.
Yeah, because I believe
I have to put Brock on the list of something more believable, because he would sign on to return and then come back throughout the year and not be like Cena wrestling once a year. Okay, so I'll count Brock as 10.
That's kind of crazy that a full one-third of a prospective Royal Rumble are...
potential spots.
Yeah. You know, I feel like...
Brock's not enough. And nine of them announced in advance. Well, no, wait. Braun's not announced in advance, nor is Fiend. Okay, then that kind of throws that math off. But I imagine like they'll Braun, I'm sure, will have a number and be in the match. Bray, I could see him just, you know, the lights go out in the ring and he costs Randy Orton even if he's not in the match. In fact, I'm almost positive what's going to happen.
The
Fiend's actually officially in the.
That seems like a good call to go with, the Fiend costing Randy Orton. I mean, that would be even funnier if he's in the, you know, final three or something like that, and he really costs him a shot at WrestleMania. be a good reason to be irritated at the Fiend for a little bit longer. Of course, them possibly having another WrestleMania match is not exactly exciting me, so...
No, but I assume at that point they'd make it a Firefly Funhouse match and do all the bullshit with it.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, but that's a lot of possibilities.
If you were to count the outside out there people I mentioned, I think the number gets to 13.
Yeah, it's a lot of names to be thrown in the ring. I feel like it's definitely more focused. Like, there's usually, like, maybe a group of five people, max.
Less focused than you get.
Huh? No.
You said it's more focused. You said it's, or more focused on everyone than...
Normally the WWE is more focused on kind of a core group of guys that have a chance of winning rather than right now. Like, I don't feel like... Just because I don't have any feeling and we watched Raw, and I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be some stuff that happens on SmackDown, but... Nothing that's going to really change my mind for, like, who we've all named off tonight.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see where that ends up going. Like, there are a lot of directions for the WWE to go with the Men's Rumble. And it'll be interesting to see which way they go, you know? Because I do think that... I think that Kevin Owens is done with Roman Reigns after this one. So something fresh for Reigns would not be completely surprising. But I'm not sure if that involves, a Raw guy moving over to SmackDown or just a SmackDown guy winning. Because, I mean, you could still do the Nakamura storyline, because he's kind of had his run-ins with the Reigns clan at this point, too. So, I mean... There really isn't any urgent need for Nakamura to win it, but... And especially, it would be really weird for Nakamura to be a two-time winner.
Yeah, that is something I use to discredit Seth Rollins' chances, that someone that they would make a put in that rarefied air as a two-time winner. I don't think there's any questionable two-time winners. That would also maybe put Sheamus out of the loop as well. Maybe even more so, because he's really... I mean, the year he won was definitely considered a down year for the Rumble in every way. He wasn't on anyone's radar as a winner.
So,
good old Sheamus.
Yeah, but at least he's had more breathing room between wins. Like, I think the point with Rollins having, it won't be back-to-back years, but a year separating wins or 2 years separating wins is a pretty tight time frame.
Yeah, 2 years. That's a pretty tight time frame. Then again, back in the day, it was Hogan run 2 years in a row, Michaels won 2 years in a row, Austin won 2 years in a row, then Austin won again to... He's the only one at three. I think Hogan, Michaels, Austin, and Triple H are so far still the only ones who got Cena. And Cena's got two.
Oh, okay.
So that's a pretty rarefied air to be in. Yeah, to have two.
Yeah, I could see Rollins. I mean, Rollins, I think, has enough of a career left that I could see him winning it two times at some point. But this year doesn't feel like the year to be doing that. So, alrighty. I think that that about does it. So we have a semi-Royal Rumble preview there for everyone. I will talk about a beer that I finished up quite a while ago at this point. Olentangy River Brewing Company is one that I did not get to last year, I think, at all. It was a casualty of less running around for beer, unfortunately. But their Belgian Aloha. It's a Belgian triple with hibiscus. I crushed this thing. And it's quite delicious, and it's 9.6% alcohol, so it's a nice and heavy one. I would not expect any less from a Belgian triple. The hibiscus really matches well with the regular triple flavor, the Belgian flavors. So that is one that I'm not sure what their distribution range is, but yeah, I would definitely try to get your grubby paws on that if one gets the chance. They definitely sell it in cans, so you should be able to find it some good purveyors of beer. Belt Time Beer of the Show. I'm at Frank11. That's at Stunt County. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and check us out on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you happen to download this fine podcast, and have a good night.
Later.